Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the somber sounds of organized crime, live from New Zealand. One of the worst criminal institutions known to man. Speaking of criminal institutions, we have a fabulous guest on the line here who's a semi-regular on the show. Her name is Penny Bright, ladies and gentlemen, one of my personal friggin' heroes of activism in this country, a woman who taught me to do one thing every day that scares you, and she's got a new campaign. She's trying to campaign to get the seat of a corrupt politician who's just recently been ejected from Parliament, named Pansy Wong, for taking her fabulous, you know, hubby along on the taxpayers' card when she's doing trips to China. Penny Bright, welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Oh, hi, Vinnie. Yes, apologise for the small technical glitch at the beginning, or my fault. It's going to be exciting, all right, because, The thing is that it has never occurred to me, and I'm 56 now, but it has never occurred to me the concept of actually the access to information from being inside the house. So what happens when you get the White Fang investigative activist public watchdog who, if you get elected to be an MP, I mean, I'll be able to ask unlimited written questions of ministers. I'll have access to parliamentary library staff researchers. It hadn't occurred to me to use it to try and find out for the public where on earth is our public money going and who is benefiting. That's why I'm standing.
Well, in general, nobody benefits from public money anymore, except, of course, the extreme tiny elite minority who own all the companies that are contracting out to the government and, more to the point, lobbying government to pass legislation so that virtually the government owns nothing. And then they have to pay these contractors to do everything, which we used to own and get for free anyway.
Well, I mean, that's a huge issue. You know, all the debates we had over the Auckland Super City, for example. I think I've mentioned on a previous show that when I went to the Transparency International Conference, I just realised that the problem is global. There is a global procurement market of over $14 trillion, $14,000 billion, of which $2.5 trillion, $2,500 billion, is estimated to be lost in bribery and corruption. Well, that, you know, $2,500 billion US, I think, could help, feed, water and shelter quite a lot of poor people. And in actual fact, it is the poor people that end up paying for the bribes and corruption because it gets intertwined into the final cost of those services that have been privatized.
Well, that's funny, Penny, because they talk about the trickle-down effect, and in essence they're correct, except the trickle-down effect works in the direct opposite way that they claim it.
Well, the expression all the
corruption trickles down, but none of the assets, none of the money, none of the transparency. None of the
I think trickle-down, the real meaning is the rich peeing on the poor, but that's the trickle down. Yeah, but
More operatively, taking a WikiLeak on us all, you know.
Well, I do have a little victory to report, and that is I only found out yesterday that the new Super City Auckland Council, what they are doing under their code of conduct is they are requiring a register of interest for elected representatives, which is going to be made publicly available. So that is a step forward in transparency. And I'm pleased to be able to say, you know, help with that one by making a fuss. And if it's going to be the biggest council in New Zealand that is going to adopt that practice, well, then I believe the rest of councils all over New Zealand should as well. And if we're going to have a register of interest of elected politicians, then why on earth don't we equally have a register of interest for those council staff or officials who have anything to do with the procurement contracting process? And at the moment, what they're trying to say, oh, privacy. considerations, well, hello, if privacy considerations don't apply for elected representatives, then why should they apply for council staff when a lot of the senior ones probably have more to do with signing off a lot more lower level contracts than elected representatives anyway?
Let me see if we can break this down, Penny. Just exactly how has all the public money, which we've all, you know, getting taxed to the high heavens in order to buy state assets, exactly how is it just being taken off us without so much as a blink from the politicians?
Well, I mean, what happened was, ever since the days of Rogernomics and Thatcherism and Ronald Reagan's day, that concept, the myth took hold that public is bad and private is good. And you got, you know, the classic photo in New Zealand, the Ministry of Works worker resting on his shovel and having a smoke. Well, in between your, you know, union breaks, which you're allowed to have, there were still a lot of roads, dams and bridges, etc., that got built by the old Ministry of Works. That model was not broken. And
I talked to this guy who's like a National Party supporter one time on K Road, you know, I was out at a party.
Oh, yep.
And he said, you know, back in the 70s under the public model, some of the roads were unkempt, some of this were unkempt, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, well, dude, the country had only been around for like 100 years or something like that. You expect everything to be full-on metropolis?
Well, I mean, I just have to say that all these people that kept pushing that ideological model, because that's what it was based on, ideology, because I, for one, and I, you know me, I do my homework and I do official information at request, and all the time that I've spent trying to get some facts and evidence to back up that right-wing neoliberal mantra, I can't find any. So they just keep repeating the myth, and just think if they keep repeating it long and hard enough, everyone will just believe it. But when you say, well, hang on a minute, back up the truck, you know, back up what you're saying, oh, there's evidence, well, where is it? And suddenly they can't provide any. I mean, the classic was with the super city, as you know. No evidence of any cost-benefit analysis since the last council amalgamations. No evidence to back up the contracting out of these public services that used to be provided by councils, and there was no cost-benefit analysis of this commercialised, council-controlled organisational model. And as you know, I just used to say to people at these public meetings during the mayoral campaign, well, do your own. Have your rates gone up or down over the last 20 or 25 years? Because that's it. Game, set, match. If your rates have not gone down, you were conned.
And that's interesting, isn't it? I mean, to apply rudimentary logic to these people completely destroys everything that they're saying. All right, and common sense, I don't believe, is common anymore. I believe it's now should be more aptly called rare sense, because it is quite rare that you find people who have any. and it's particularly among Parliament. I mean, is becoming a retard part of the parliamentary induction?
well, what is interesting, and with this Botany by-election, of course, because it's regarded as a safe national seat, there are over a dozen people have put their hands up because they're dying to be selected. And one of the people who's thrown her hat into the ring is a well-known broadcaster, Maggie Barry. Well, Maggie's been a National Party member for all of about a month, and, of course, that's causing ructions from the people who have done their apprenticeship and done the hard yards as party hacks and party members, blah, blah. And if she were to get the nod, that would, trust me, that will cause a lot of major dissent. But whoever they choose to put forward.
Why would it cause dissent, Penny? I thought all the National Party people would be happy to just have somebody famous who came out of absolutely nowhere to just take over the show.
No, it doesn't quite work like that, because the key front runner really is Jamie Lee Ross, out of these sort of established National Party people, and he's a young guy, 25 going on 40, and I will give him credit, he's quite a capable but extremely right-wing young man, but I mean, he is capable. And Yeah, so he's sort of like the top pick. But the only problem is that he only just got elected to the Auckland Council. And he can't do both jobs. I mean, it's not his fault that Pansy Wong left under a cloud of corruption and opened a door for him. But
And just to preface this for the listening audience, if you're unaware, Pansy Wong's an elected government official into Parliament, and she's been there for quite some time. And she went on a couple of plane trips with her spouse, which she was not allowed to do. And as a result, she was then ejected from Parliament, and every politician lost all their travel perks except her.
Because
she was in Parliament before the travel perk laws were changed, or some ridiculous loophole like that. And the electorate where she is, where she was in charge of, is now up for a new by-election, and Penny's now standing for this by-election. Sorry, Penny, I was just bringing everybody up to speed. Continue.
Okay, well, the thing is that it was not so much that she had her spouse with her, but her spouse used the opportunity for business trips. And that is the concept of misuse of public office for private gain applies to spouses and children as well. And so that's that's the theory of it, that you're supposed to be in public office not to look after yourself, your family or your mates, but you're supposed to be there to help serve the public interest. And but of course, the major systems flaw that we have there in New Zealand, perceived to be the least corrupt country in the world, along with Denmark and Singapore, we don't have a code of conduct for MPs. There is no code of conduct for New Zealand members of Parliament, although they make the rules for everybody else. And they make sure that other people have codes of conduct. There is not a clear set of guidelines for what is in and what is out for the conduct of MPs, with clear sanctions for breaches thereof. And it seems like I'm the only one that's saying, well, it's not complicated. You need clear rules and guidelines. Where's the code of conduct for MPs? And how the hell do we not already have one?
Well, Penny, that's how we won the Corruption Perception Index rather than a Corruption Reality Index, because most New Zealanders don't have any discernment to perception.
Well, the thing is that I think the other side of the story there is that, in actual fact, what is common practice in New Zealand, corrupt practice is actually quite commonplace, and I'll give you a couple of examples of that. And one is the classic revolving door, where people who are in public service, they walk out a door and they get straight into some private enterprise where the skills or the contacts or whatever that they developed in the public sector immediately come into play. Well, there's a thing called post-separation employment, where there should be a quarantine period of, say, 18 months or a couple of years, so you can't go straight through a revolving door. We don't have that in New Zealand, and it is really commonplace. So that's one example of what's regarded as a corrupt practice, which happens all the time here. Another one is who gets to meet the minister. In a number of countries, there is a thing called a register of lobbyists. So you could only get a meeting with the minister if you're on this register of lobbyists, and then you can check who the minister's meeting. Here, I've been told, although I don't have the facts to back it up, that some lobbyists have their own swipe cards to get into Parliament. But if I get into Parliament, I'll find all this stuff out.
It's just a mates club here, though. It's just, even without all these other little groups, it's all just who you know, what you know, rather than what you know. And and we have juryless trials, secret trials here going on. I mean, this place is scary. I mean, it's scary.
And we have, what's worse is that we have anonymous judges in our Supreme Court.
Well, there are a lot of areas where we truly lack basic transparency. And one of the classic ones for me is that how on earth can you check against for a conflict of interest if the interests aren't declared in the first place? Now, a recent victory with that, like I say, with the Auckland Council, is getting this register of interest, which will be made publicly available. But there's still no law in New Zealand that says that it's a mandatory requirement for elected representatives to have a register of interest. They're doing it, which is good, but it's the fuss and push and shove that's made them do it, as opposed to statute. well, the statutory framework should be there. Like judges, for example, there is no statutory requirement for a register of interest for judges. And there are a lot of judges that have business interests. Well, in my view, make up your mind. If you want to be a business person, be a business person. If you want to be a judge, one or the other. Because New Zealand is small, and if you do want to wear both those hats, it does set up for conflicts of interest. And if you're
not to mention all the judiciaries, even smaller of the smallest, you know, it's just like they all know each other, and therefore any judge having any complaint about any other judge is a conflict of interest because it's such a small country, such a small judiciary. In fact, in the Supreme Court, two of the judges are married to each other.
Well, the thing is that it's all about minimizing the risk, and if you have clear procedures set down and everybody knows what they are, then that's a real step to genuine transparency and accountability. I mean, other things in our judiciary, the fact that court proceedings are regularly not recorded. And my argument with that is, well, how on earth can justice be done or be seen to be done if there's no record in court of what the hell was done?
Well, it'd probably be very convenient for the judges because, according to Vince Seymour, who's a good friend of both of ours, Penny, you know, almost everything that they do in there pretty much is dodgy in some way, shape, or form. I'm blowing that out of proportion, of course, but the general idea is there that a heck of a lot of corruption does happen in the courts, and people, because they're not recorded, nothing happens.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's not complicated. Proceedings should be recorded. It's very easy now. We've got the technology. And, you know, that the tapes, audio tapes, should be made available to any party that requests them. Simple. But, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, with my corruption reality checklist that I drew up for that Transparency International Conference, that will be the basis for my anti-corruption platform in Botany. And already, I mean, I've spoken to three editors of Indian newspapers that cover the Botany area. They are all keen as mustard. And then one of them says, you've hit the nail right on the head on this call for a code of conduct for MPs. I mean, what?
Oh, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, do you have a code of conduct? And if you did, and you were serving the public, would you follow it? We certainly would, which is why we don't actually work for the public. We're just doing it anyway. You listen to the Penny Eastwood Show. Our very special guest is Penny Bright from Water Pressure Group. We'll be right back. From a new world order, because apparently we all just live entrapped on this frickin' planet together, and one group of elite scumbags wants to control it all. Oh yeah. But conveniently enough, to every conspiracy, to every scumbag who tries to take over the world, there is always resistance that winds up overthrowing them. Every tyrant throughout history has lusted and tried to take over the world, and it failed abysmally. And we're quite happy to be making the current manifestation of the New World Order fail abysmally too. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. Our very special guest is Penny Bright, the anti-corruption campaigner, coming at us from waterpressure.wordpress.com. Facebook.com. Penny, welcome back.
Oh, cheers, Vinny. Yes, it's going to be an exciting year. Now, what's going to happen is that I intend to hold three politically explosive public meetings out in the Botany electorate, and I want to cover different aspects of corruption at central government level and corruption within the judiciary. And what I'm looking for is I'm going to have a couple of other keynote speakers apart from myself who can help explain to the public what's going on and what the answers are. And a lot of people will hear information they will have never heard before, and it will be dynamite. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Like, for example, I think I've already mentioned that a new form of corruption that I've discovered that I believe New Zealand is absolutely rotten with is state capture, where vested interests get their way at the policy level before legislation is passed. And I think any country can have a good hard look and check that who is it that these policy analysts consult with? How much are vested interests intertwined into the policy making process? Because I tell you something, and you're going to hear it right now, I intend to lay a complaint against local government New Zealand because I believe there was bribery and corruption when local government New Zealand accepted corporate sponsorship for their local government conference in New Zealand at the Sky City last year. And what happened was that some of the big snouts lining up who would benefit from 35-year contracts and public-private partnerships, they sponsored this local government New Zealand conference. Now, who the hell is local government New Zealand? Well, guess what? They're not a creature of statute. They are an incorporated society which claims to speak on behalf of 85 councils all over New Zealand. But on what statutory basis? They don't come under the Local Government Act, so they're not subject to the Local Government Official Information and Meetings Act. So you can't get access to their decisions, to their reports, to their minutes. And yeah, so what happened was that not only did Local Government New Zealand end up supporting the 35-year water contracts, their corporate number of their corporate sponsorships wanted, but Local Government New Zealand then advocated that councils all over the country support the 35-year water contracts. Well, if that doesn't speak to high heaven, what does?
Well, and if it's not privatisation, you know, doing a public-private partnership for 30 years, which means a private company gets control over it for 30 years, you know, it's like saying you're not pregnant unless you're 3 months along.
Well, I mean, that's right, but the issue here is it's about how this legislation, how it got passed, and a key body that was involved was an organisation called the New Zealand Council for Infrastructural Development, okay? And that represents the big snouts lining up, you know, the Fulton Hogans, the Price Waterhouse Coopers, Simpson Grierson Law Company, etc. You know, so these are the ones who stand to financially benefit from such contracts. Well, I'm making investigations right now, and hopefully I'll be able to report back soon, at the highest levels about making a formal complaint. So that should help, you know, really raise the issue. Because like in New South Wales in the late 80s, when there was all that massive police corruption, etc., it was only a huge public fuss that ended up getting the New South Wales Independent Commission Against Corruption established. And Australia's not perfect. I'm not saying that either. But by the same token, they've got a lot more framework in place than we have. I mean, New Zealand hasn't even ratified the UN Convention Against Corruption, which is like a best practice example of legislation that we should have. We don't have an anti-corruption agency whose job it is to prevent corruption. And although at last it looks like the Serious Fraud Office have got off their butt and they are actually now starting to prosecute some of the high-level white-collar criminals, that's all after the event, you know. The crime's been, alleged crime has been committed. Over 60 finance companies have collapsed in the least corrupt country in the world. How on earth did that happen? So white-collar crime is also one of the issues that I want to raise at the public meetings, because I think there'll be a number of of constituents out in the Botany electorate that actually got bitten in a lot of those finance company collapses. Going to be fun.
Yep. Well, you know what's funny is, like, with KiwiSaver, for example, you know, government scheme to get everybody to force them, it's not forced, actually. You can opt out if you want to, but all the money that you, your employer, and the government contributions goes to is going into finance companies, 19 or something of which have failed in the last couple of years. What a savings scheme to put it into. I mean, seriously, talk about a house built on effing sand.
Well, not just that, but, major conflicts of interest. I mean, where's the due diligence of groups like Treasury? You know, just like they never did a cost-benefit analysis of the council-controlled organisational model into which $28 billion worth of Auckland public assets are being placed or have been placed. They never did any due diligence there. I mean, who on earth is checking on the big stuff? Who's checking? And, I mean, the more research I do, the more I realise, oh, my God, there's just these huge black holes. Nobody's checking. And yet, when things go wrong or go belly up, it's hello, who gets to pay for it? Not those of us that caused the problem. We're just seen as a giant cash cow.
Mm-hmm.
Socialise the losses and privatise the profits. Well, enough. You know, enough already.
Well, like we talk about the New World Order on the show, Penny, I mean, it's the same story everywhere you look, isn't it? Same thing happening in the EU, same thing happening in the US, same thing happening in New Zealand. And, I'd venture a guess that probably the same thing is happening in virtually every single country that's controlled by, or rather, has a private banking system and has their treasury basically making up all the policy. I had a look at a documentary called Someone Else's Country about how New Zealand, every time we get a new prime minister, Treasury calls them on the day that they're elected saying, oh, there's this big financial crisis that's been building up during the last parliament and it's all their fault, but now you have to pass draconian legislation to privatise everything that people have built up.
well, that's exactly right. Well, when it comes to corruption, privatisation and corruption are totally joined at the hip. Because procurement or the privatisation of public services, that's where the money is. You know, and it always comes back to that same or hoary old chestnut, follow the money. Follow the money. That's the issue. Well, like I say, I mean, I'm really looking forward to this by-election campaign because one of the issues that I'll be making a huge fuss about is, you know, with the Auckland Super City, what the council want to do, this new super city council, the first thing they want to do is put everyone's rates up, 4.9%. Hello? Weren't we told there would be economies of scale? When we got rid of all this duplication and put all the councils together, that the myth and legend was that ratepayers would be better off. I mean, they want to put the rates.
That's
up
amazing, five. Penny. So it's going up 4.9%,
5%. Well, no, that's what they're talking about doing. And what happened was the majority of councillors supported the 4.9 increase. Some of the councillors said, no, it should be a 3.8% increase. And that includes people like Jamie Lee Ross, who's liable to be my opposing candidate in this by-election. We shall see. But my argument is, well, hang on a minute, back up the truck. I did an Official Information Act request wanting to know where exactly ratepayers' monies were going. You know, over the range of council services, which are provided in-house, which are contracted out, and which are under the CCO model. And those which are contracted out, I want the name of the contractor, the term, the value, and the scope of the contract. Well, the reply I got back from this New Auckland, more efficient, might I add, Auckland Council was... they refused to give me the information on the grounds that it would take too much time to research and collate. I'm thinking, oh, my God, if they can't make that information about where our rates are going available to the public, then by the same token, they can't have that information available to the elected representatives. Now, if you don't have the details and facts about where rates money's going now, how on earth, as an elected representative, can you say, put the rates up? You know where the money's going now. That is outrageous. And like, I got speaking rights. I got speaking rights on the 16th of December at the new Auckland Council meeting, and I said, well, I don't know what's my job to tell you your job, but aren't you familiar with the Public Records Act 2005, Section 17, which states that councils, local authorities, are supposed to keep the books in a business-like manner, including all details concerning contracts with the private sector? Hello? That, you know, this is a statutory requirement. And I've got
I love the little word games that these scum play as well. Like, we're going to keep rate increases within the rate of inflation. Well, hello, they can make up their own rate of inflation in local government. Yes. And you expose that. And it's been completely ignored by our piece of crap media.
Well, the thing is that... That's why I really encourage people to keep their eye open for when these public meetings are coming along in Botany, because people will be able to come from outside the Botany electorate, and I do believe that they should be very well attended, because the information I'm going to give to people is just going to blow them away. You know, it's going to be absolutely full on. And the thing is that what I do hope to achieve from this Botany by-election campaign is to shine a huge public spotlight on the issue of corruption. Because I tell you something, National are very vulnerable on the issue of corruption. Because a lot of people don't know that prior to the 2008 general election, I made a complaint to the police in serious fraud about... he was then leader of the opposition, John Key. And this is at a time before he was the leader of the opposition, where he was a member of parliament for Helensville electorate, and he had an undisclosed shareholding in Transrail. And then Transrail, which was, you know, rail company, was up before the House as an item of business. And not only did John Key ask oral questions and written questions, he did an Official Information Act request to the Minister of Finance, Michael Cullen, attempting to flush out commercially sensitive information at a time he had an undisclosed shareholding in Transrail. And when Michael Cullen, on the advice of Treasury, said, don't release that information, it's commercially sensitive, John Key then made a complaint to the Ombudsman in order to try and flush out that commercially sensitive information. Well, I discussed this with a top QC who wasn't so much worried about the failure to disclose, but when I said, well, he tried to get this this information, flush it out, it was suggested to me to try Section 228 of the New Zealand Crimes Act.
Mm-hmm. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Our very special guest is Penny Bright from the Water Pressure Group, waterpressure.wordpress.com. Final segment coming up after the break. We certainly hope you enjoy it. Breaking it down on the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
What makes AMSOIL motorcycle oils so good? Customers say they can actually feel the heat reduction. Shifting becomes smooth and clutches last longer. Throttle response improves, while more power goes to the wheels. AMSOIL Advanced Motorcycle Oils last twice the manufacturer's interval and are guaranteed. When you order through AmericanFreedomRadio.com, 100% of the proceeds go to the network. Try this. Click on the AMSOIL link, look up the motorcycle oils, then download the motorcycle oil white paper to see how the competition compares. AMSOIL synthetic lubricants and filters are the most advanced products on the market today. American Freedom Radio wants you to experience how AMSOIL saves you money on fuel, saves you time on maintenance, and extends the life of your bike. But performance is what keeps customers coming back. Dare to compare. Enter AMSOIL's site by clicking the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Online, all the time, your gateway to the world.
AFR.
American Freedom Radio.
Give it to them.
Listen to Time for Hemp, hosted by Casper Leach, Monday through Friday, 11 p.m. to 12 a.m. Central, only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
An enormous monkey wrench jamming into the machine of the New World Order and the corrupt politicians that run all of our nations. You are listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. Our very special guest is Penny Bright from waterpressure.wordpress.com. Penny, welcome back. I'd like you, if you could, just to finish off very quickly with your story about John Key. And then, of course, there has been a new defaming campaign launched against a controversial MP by the name of Winston Peters. Go for your life, love.
Okay. With the John Key matter, what happened? Yeah, the police in Serious Fraud refused to act on my complaint, so I took a private prosecution against John Key for attempt to use a document for pecuniary gain. There was not one sentence in the New Zealand Herald, and you know that as much as I do, Vinny, because we researched 3 months of New Zealand Herald, which is the main New Zealand paper, page after page, 3 months before the 2008 election, continually man on the moon headlines to discredit Winston Peters in New Zealand First, although he wasn't being charged with trying to feather his own nest, which was the allegation I was making against John Key. Not one sentence about my campaign. And what happened was that after the election, I appealed to the High Court, and I got a High Court judge who ruled that John Key, like any other citizen, has the right to make an Official Information Act request when he's got an undisclosed pecuniary interest. And to me, that was judicial endorsement of a corrupt practice. Anyway, the latest and greatest in terms of what's happening with Winston Peters is that on Kiwi Blog, which is the biggest blog in New Zealand, which is run by David Farrar, who's quite a sort of right-wing commentator, what he did was he had a leaflet from a scurrilous neo-Nazi group in Christchurch, right-wing resistance. I can't remember, something to that effect. But basically what happened was, and then David Farrar's comment was, I see New Zealand First have changed their logo, and that jammed my buttons on full. I thought, that is not on, because there was quite an unprecedented campaign back in 2008 against Winston Peters New Zealand First, and the objective, which they were successful in doing, was to try and stop New Zealand First getting the 5% party vote threshold in order to get them into Parliament. And they, it was like slinging mud at the wall, and some of it does stick, and especially when you don't get as much publicity in the corporate media from people putting the other side of the story. So I stuck up, or told the truth, I stuck up for New Zealand First and Winston Peters, and basically told people about what had happened to John Key. And, of course, I kicked over a hornet's nest, as you can imagine, on a right-wing blog, and I spent a few hours, 5 or 6 hours, you know, backward batting, backwards and forwards. The arguments, but the message certainly got out. And what happened the next day? There was an absolute torrent of stuff there from David Farrar, because I think he was employing the old tactic, best form of defence is attack. And, of course, the other thing would be he would be trying to bury my story about my complaint and prosecution against John Key.
So I'm surprised that this David Farrar guy, I'm kind of right-leaning, I'm surprised he had a go, got stuck into Winston Peters.
Very simple. How MMP works is this. National will not get the numbers to govern alone. They need coalition partners. And I think it is highly unlikely that Rodney Hyde, the ACT MP, will get back in Rodney and Epson, because if you're a wealthy homeowner and you're facing a 5% rate increase coming from a super city that you never had a vote on in the first place, and you were told that this was going to be better for you and you're going to get a massive rates increase, I do believe that most unlikely that Rodney will get back. So the point is that if Winston Peters and New Zealand First get over 5%, that changes the ball game. See what I'm saying? It's all about coalition partners. It's as simple as that. But in order to be a coalition partner, you've got to have the numbers to get in Parliament in the first place.
One of the reasons I hate MMP.
Well, in actual fact, I don't share your view there, because if you look at Rogernomics, that happened under First Past the Post. Yeah, I know there's arguments for and against, but in my view, when you look at the issues, I think that myself, I prefer MMP to First Past the Post, but maybe.
But
that's like being preferred being slapped by a left hand rather than a right hander, you know.
I don't like the whole system. I think it's co-opted choices on in every front. Really?
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Will.
There's a bit of that. Like the lesser of two evils is still evil. I do understand that one. But by the same token, I'm of the very firm belief that where the people lead, the politicians will follow. And that's why I'm raising these issues out in Botany, because you watch. I don't believe there's any political party out there that's got such a clear list of demands in terms of fixing the corruption problem that I'm going to be putting forward. And I tell you right now, some of them will pick up some of what I'm saying, because that happened in the mural campaign.
See, for me, I can't find a political party going into the next election that will stop in debt in New Zealand at a rate of $300 million a week. I can't find a political party that says we need to mint our own currency. That's why the choices are co-opted to me.
The Democrats for Social Credit do want to mint their own currency, bro.
I know. I mean, I can't find a main political party.
You need to make a fuss for that to be picked up as a demand. But you see, that's one of the things that, you know, I am sort of getting my head around, is this whole banking debt thing. But I want to know to whom exactly is New Zealand becoming indebted at $300 million a week? And I want to know
the Japanese. I do want to know as well. Here's a quote for the day. Those who manipulate the opinions of the masses constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country. Edward Bernays.
Thanks very much, Penny, for coming on the show with us today. We'll definitely have you on again sometime.
Okay, thank you for having me. I'm sorry about the little stuff up at the beginning, but she's all go. Woohoo!
Don't worry. And thanks to shows like this, hopefully getting out a little bit further each and every day. Thanks to our fabulous listeners who send round the links to their friends, family, and scumbags alike. We can wake people up and get the change we actually want to see. Listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Catch you later, ladies and gentlemen.